inspired writer said in Psalm 119, verse 104 and 105, "Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." While the following scripture study cannot be exhaustive, it is designed to provide insights toward a better understanding of God's word, awareness of ways that are false, and encouragement to study more so that you may live rightly in this world and live forever in heaven.
And then in Acts chapter 21, we read of the beginning of the trials and triumphs of Paul and the gospel. In Jerusalem, Caesarea, and finally to Rome, the gospel will go. There'll never be a more pulsating narrative than the last eight chapters of the book of Acts. In Acts 22, we have his marvelous speech on the castle stairs, in which he remembered that faithful martyr Stephen, and how that he was to turn to the Gentiles to preach the gospel. The mob at the foot of the castle stairs down in the court of the Gentiles was made up mainly of the Jews, and they were so angry they wanted to kill Paul. The Roman captain was going to beat Paul, but Paul said, "I have Roman citizenship." And he used this in a wonderful way to keep the gospel from being hindered. The Lord used this man who had high intelligence, a wonderful education, background, sitting at the feet of Gamaliel, the noted rabbi of the law, Roman citizenship. And yet, more than anything else, the man who became all things to all men that he might by all means save some. 1 Corinthians 9:22. In Acts 23, the Roman authorities bring him before the Sanhedrin, the court of the Jews, composed of Pharisees and Sadducees. And Paul turns the tables on them by saying, "Concerning the resurrection of the dead, I'm a Pharisee." The Sadducees didn't believe in angels or the resurrection of the dead. And Paul knew they were in error, and so he divides the council against themselves, and they just forget about Paul. And so the Roman authorities are still in despair, and they put Paul in prison. And his nephew comes to him with word that has been overheard, that men have plotted, some 40 men, to not eat or drink until they've killed Paul. And they want him to be returned to the Sanhedrin, and on a back street in a narrow way, they're going to mob him and kill him. Paul says to his nephew, "Go tell the Roman authority about this." And so that night, they steal him away to Caesarea, to the place of judgment. And he's going to come before Felix and a man named Festus, and finally Agrippa, who's another Herod, on his trek from Jerusalem to Caesarea to Rome, Acts 23:11, to preach the gospel. And then when he is heard by Felix, he preaches to Felix righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. You get the idea in the last chapters of Acts that Paul is not the one on trial, but that his judges are placed before the tribunal of God, before the judgment seat of Christ. He may stand there on trial as far as his physical life, but they stand in jeopardy spiritually for being out of the Lord and unprepared to meet their God. And when Felix comes to hear him preach, he reasons with him of righteousness, temperance, and the judgment to come, and Felix trembles and says, "Some more convenient season I'll call on thee." And do you remember that Paul then preaches to Agrippa in Acts 26, the descendant of Esau, one of the Herods, a despicable family that opposed Christ and his apostles all through the first century, but who all came to naught. You cannot successfully war against God, 2 Chronicles 13:12. We must not be found fighting against God, Acts 5:39. Let God be true and every man be found a liar, Romans 3, verse 4. And so as Paul stands before Agrippa, he just recounts his conversion. Festus jumps in the discussion and says, "You're mad. Your much learning has made you mad." Paul shows the calmness and composure which only Christ can give by saying, "I'm not mad, most noble Festus. I'm just telling the things that are true, things that have happened." He said, "I've been trying to turn men from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to the power of God." And he turns to Agrippa and he says, "You know these things. They weren't done in a corner." And Agrippa said, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." But almost wasn't good enough for Paul. He said, "I would to God that not only thou, but all them that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds." Agrippa said, "I can't find any fault in this man. If he hadn't appealed unto Caesar, he'd be set free." But then in Acts 27, we have the charming story that is really a gripping tale of the journey of 276 men on board a rickety old ship on the way from Caesarea to Rome. And had it not been for Paul, they all would have perished in the sea. He stood up and said, "I believe God, and it shall be even as he has told me. Now you better abide in this ship and mind me, or you'll all die out there at sea." And you remember how they finally made it to the island of Malta, and as they got out of the water. They were so cold, they began to build a fire, gather wood. Paul reached in to get some wood, and a snake fastened on his hand. And some of the inhabitants of Malta said he must be the worst criminal of all. He's escaped the sea, and now a snake's going to kill him. But he just shook the snake off and went on about his business, and they believed he was a servant of God because such miracles confirmed the word, gave him an opportunity to preach the gospel. And he, in great kindness and boldness, preached the gospel to the inhabitants of Malta and also healed the father of the ruler of the island, a man, the ruler's name was Publius. And then he treks toward Rome. And brethren come all the way from Rome to down the Appian Way to the Three Taverns to meet him and escort him back into the city. And when he gets to Rome, the Jews from Rome who've heard of him come to hear him in his own private dwelling. And he preaches the gospel to them, but he says, "You are hardened in your heart, your ears are closed, your eyes are shut. I'll have to turn to the Gentiles." And they departed and began to discuss the sermon they'd heard, but he continued to preach the kingdom of God. Acts 28, verse 31. And so the book of Acts, the marching orders of the New Testament, a brilliant book on the history of the New Testament, cases of conversion, the establishment of the church.
The message which you have just heard was brought to you by the Church of Christ.